On the live line with us is the Dean of Berkeley Law, Erwin Chemerinsky. Erwin, good morning.
Good morning. It's always good to talk with you.
A pleasure right back at you. So the Supreme Court says, no, they're not going to bypass the appeals court when it comes to DACA. What does that mean for DACA itself?
That means that there are two federal court decisions enjoining President Trump's attempt to rescind DACA, or to put it most simply, DACA remains in effect while now these cases are being appealed to the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit on the West Coast and the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit on the East Coast.
So President Trump called it an unconstitutional use of executive power. How odd was it that he went right to the Supreme Court, though, with this case?
It's very unusual. In rare cases, the Supreme Court will take a case after a federal trial court decision before a federal court of appeals decision. The court did that in the Watergate tapes case, United States versus Nixon, in 1974. But it happens very rarely. The Supreme Court wants to get the benefit of what the federal court of appeals have to say. The Supreme Court wants it to seem that they're following usual procedure. And that's all the court did yesterday, is say, go like you're supposed to the federal court of appeals before you come to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is really not on President Trump's anything list in terms of they're not going to be invited probably to any of his gatherings while he's in the White House. And
I think that's an oversimplification. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit is an incredibly ideologically diverse court. It has some very conservative judges. It has some very liberal judges. It has some moderate judges. And I do think it's a misconception to think of the Ninth Circuit as just this liberal monolith.
No, I think that's what he's thinking about it, not necessarily us. But let's move on to unions. This is a big one, Janus versus, and the short form is AFSCME, talking about unions. What do you think about this one?
This is an important case. It's an issue that was before the Supreme Court 2 years ago, and then Justice Scalia passed away, and the court split 4-4. The issue is, can a state require non-union members to pay the share of the union dues that go to support collective bargaining? In a decision in 1977, the Supreme Court said non-union members benefit from collective bargaining in their wages, their hours, their working conditions. They shouldn't be able to be free riders. They should pay for that share of the union dues. But at least the four conservative justices who were on the court 2 years ago, Roberts, Kennedy, Thomas Alito, have no doubt that they believe this is unconstitutional compelled speech. There's no doubt that Ginsburg, Breyerson, and Kagan are going to say these laws that exist in 23 states, including California, are constitutional. And it all comes down to the newest justice, Justice Gorsuch, and he didn't say a word yesterday at oral argument.
Hmm.
And this is this Supreme Court season right now when all the cases get decided or we get to hear some of the results?
This is the season for the oral arguments. There will be some decisions that come down this morning, but we don't get the big decisions until June.
Yeah.
The court will have oral arguments now, have oral arguments the end of March, oral arguments in April, and then you'll start to get the rush of decisions, and usually the most important cases not until the end of June.
And what would your opinion be, Erwin, on what those most important cases and decisions will be?
Well, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in April on whether President Trump's travel ban is constitutional and lawful. There was the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission.
Yeah.
Whether a baker can be forced to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple if it violates his religious beliefs. There's the Janus case that you mentioned yesterday. And one other I'd mention is a case called Carpenter versus the United States. If police want to use cellular location information, do they need to get a warrant? Every time we use our cell phones, it communicates with cell towers. That can determine where we are in our movements. Should the police have to get a warrant before they access that information?
Well, they do now, right?
No.
Oh, they don't?
150,000 times a year, police in this country go to cellular companies and get cellular information.
Oh, without a warrant?
Without a warrant.
Wow.
And the issue is, will a warrant be required? And so that would be a major change in police practice. It's a quite significant issue with regard to privacy rights.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I can imagine that the arguments would be, they would be very enthusiastic on both sides of that issue. Erwin, thank you so much for checking in with us this morning. You help it all make sense.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. He is the Dean of Berkeley Law. That's Erwin Chemerinsky on the KSRO Live Line.